Good afternoon, Jordan.
Hello, Jesse. How are you?
Well, thanks so much for joining us.
Thank you.
So, Jordan, what is this sort of ambience that I'm going on about here? You know, I use the word vibe, but that's kind of more of a younger person phrase. How would you sort of talk about ambience of a city?
Well, I think vibe is a good way to describe the word ambience, because ambience refers to how a place feels. So often when we go somewhere, we'll say, oh, I quite like the vibe of this place. And we're really saying how it's making us feel in a particular way. So I think the two words are pretty much interchangeable. I'm a designer of ambience, so I approach ambience in a very particular way. I try to think, why does a place feel the way it does? And quite often when you break it down, it's something to do with the way the light is shining or reflecting at that time. It's got to do with the sounds and the smells and the temperature, the activity going on around you. All of those things in combination create the ambience, which is then felt through us, and we say, nice vibe.
There's so much that sort of goes into that design, almost unconsciously, that we wouldn't really think of when we are looking at a new place. Is there sort of a vision that you have at the moment for your next project that you're thinking about, and what are sort of the factors that you might consider? I know you mentioned lighting and the sort of sounds. What sort of other factors might go into your planning?
So, of course, this is a huge question that every architect and planner and designer would approach in a different way. But for me specifically, my research is about dense, busy, noisy city spaces where people don't necessarily have an opportunity to escape to some peaceful place like a park or whatever it might be. Of course, in Sydney, you have the beautiful harbour if you have access to it. But what if you live out in those more outer suburbs where you mightn't have immediate access to peaceful or restorative spaces? So my research is very much about how can we target those more dense city spaces to create small places or small pockets of ambience. So at the moment, to get back to your question, I'm creating work down in Melbourne called the Sonic Gathering Space, which is a 6.5-metre diameter seating area. And it has sounds and plants from four national parks in Victoria. So the idea is to bring the sounds and the plants and therefore hopefully some of the peaceful feelings of nature into the city, a place where people can perhaps escape the grind of the everyday and just have a place, you know, a small moment of reflection and feeling something new.
Such an innovative solution to that sort of problem of a concrete jungle that we're almost developing as we do expand and we do become more populated as a nation. Do you think that this is going to be the sort of direction that we continue moving in? And is it difficult for you to be able to actually implement this? Are you receiving the support necessary to sort of make your vision come to life?
I would say that we still live in a society that is primarily concerned by the generation of profit, and as a consequence we end up with, for instance, houses and suburbs that are built very quickly, and they're built to specific codes and they can be quite comfortable for the people that live in them, but we don't necessarily give much attention to the ambience of outdoor spaces. How can we create places where people gather, where they can come together, where they can have different sorts of experiences? Perhaps directly these aren't seen to create immediate profits, and maybe they go lower down the scale of importance, but they are very important if we want people in our cities to feel happy, to feel connected, to feel a broader range of feelings associated with being human. That's how I see it and argue for it. So, of course, I suppose the main areas these come through are public art programs, for instance. But I would say it's still an emerging field of planning and architecture to specifically focus on the ambience.
Absolutely, Jordan. And you've touched on quite an important point that, you know, especially we've just come out of a pandemic where we were locked down in our spaces. And if you are in one of those spaces which doesn't have a lot of life or a lot of warmth, I imagine that can kind of compound existing issues and not really allow for that sort of escape. So, Jordan, I'll finish on a kind of a fun question for you. What is your favourite city or your favourite place which you think has the best ambience, the best vibe, and the best feel? And just tell me a little bit about it.
Well, of course, we're going to have to give you a completely biased answer as a Melbournean and talk about Melbourne. But before I do that, before the people of Sydney grimace, another Melbournean raving about their city, I think, of course, every city has spectacular ambience. I mean, for instance, the harbour. Any point at the harbour in Sydney is really, really quite special. Any city I've been to, one of the great joys is just to get lost and explore the city. And there's always interesting nooks and crannies where some unplanned occurrence is, or where a group of people might be doing something, or where some art might appear. These are the joys of any city. But for me, what I particularly love about Melbourne and what's really inspired my research is the network of laneways down here. And the laneways were really rediscovered in the 1980s and beyond. And what they are, for those, I suppose most people know what they are, but really they're like a network of blue cobblestone lanes in between the main streets that gave access to the backs of buildings back in the day. But now they're really quiet places where you can disappear to. There's lots of graffiti artwork. There's also lots of cafes. They're just an example of the way that a city can design itself to lend itself for people to be ambulatory and to wander and to float through the city and see what can be discovered. I think Melbourne